You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon, and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves, and here's hoping that you had a fantastic Labor Day weekend and are preparing appropriately for the final 3 weeks of the NBA offseason. Teams have not announced training camp dates or media day yet. That's probably going to come in the next week or so. But based on last season, I guess when the schedule started being stretched out a little bit more, media day was that last Monday of September. The last Monday of September. So we're looking at roughly 3 weeks until that all goes down. And then we're kind of into the thick of things there immediately. So today we're going to debate the question of whether or not the Timberwolves should be focused on fitting players into Karl-Anthony Towns' quote-unquote championship window, or I guess window for success. I have a hard time calling anything Timberwolves related, attaching the word championship to it until they force my hand there. Or if the Timberwolves' concern should simply lie with getting the best players possible to surround him now and not worry as much about matching those so-called windows. Should they just be finding a second and hopefully a third star and not worry as much about age and experience and even to a lesser extent contracts and just figure the rest out later? Which is the proper approach, and which approach do I think that they're going to take here moving forward? The question was largely prompted by an appearance from John Krasinski of The Athletic, who's a fantastic writer and does a great job covering the Timberwolves and really all things Minnesota sports. He was a guest on the Thunder Buddies podcast with one of the writers from The Oklahoman, which is the primary newspaper and the equivalent of the Star Tribune in Oklahoma City. And he was a guest on that podcast and was asked about Chris Paul specifically, as everybody knows that Paul's not super excited about spending the season in Oklahoma City with a team that's refuses to admit that they're rebuilding, but even with Chris Paul is not a playoff team, and without him is probably the worst team in the league. So the question was posed, would the Timberwolves be interested in trading for Chris Paul? There was a question a few weeks ago by actually a different writer from the Oklahoman, Barry Trammell, who suggested that the Thunder should trade for Andrew Wiggins and trade Chris Paul for Andrew Wiggins just to try and find somebody with high upside to help accelerate a rebuild. So the question was, has been out there a little bit in Oklahoma City, has been talked about by Thunder fans and beat writers and folks that cover the team. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'd covered it a few weeks ago here on this podcast here on Locked On Wolves, but wanted to give a little bit more thought to it from the Timberwolves side on whether the reasoning behind not trading for somebody like Chris Paul, the window reasoning, is legitimate, and how much that should play into their thought process moving forward. So that'll be the focus of the podcast today. We do have scheduled our first guest to start talking about over-unders for the league as a whole, and that will take place over the course of several podcasts over the next couple of weeks. We're not going to cram it all into one or even two podcasts, so we're going to be recording that here in the next day or two, at least begin recording those, and those will start being released here at the end of this week, and then we'll go from there. All right, so before we take our first quick break, we do have a message from our friends at Postmates. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. Again, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON to start your free deliveries and get your $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. All right, let's take one quick break here. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the idea of matching windows and whether or not that is a legitimate idea. It certainly makes some sense on its face. You want your star players to be playing with other star players that can grow together and build something together. I think the concept is always a little bit, it sounds a little better than it ever really is in practice. If you think about many of the great NBA teams, certainly in recent decades, the only one that's really grown together to use that phrase, would be the Golden State Warriors. And that was just a function of Steph Curry getting healthy and the team being bad enough to get a high enough pick to get Klay Thompson and striking gold with Draymond Green later in the draft. And those guys all growing together, adding a couple of veterans, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, guys like that who have really, you know, did a good job filling in those gaps and supporting coming off the bench and doing what they need to do. And then they had a number of big men that they kind of rotated in for several years. But that core did grow together and stayed together and then added Kevin Durant to it and became unstoppable. And that is great. But it's funny, if you look at the Houston Rockets, where Gerson Rosas came from and worked for almost two decades in the front office, they haven't exactly grown together. Daryl Morey, who's the boss in Houston and has been that entire time that Rosas worked, who Rosas reported to directly, that team has not grown together. There's been tons of turnover. Morey is infamous for his proclivity to jump on any potential free agent or any pending, you know, any star that might want to be traded from his current situation, and jumping on any possible situation to add another star to the fold. The only, you know, there's been some that have worked out, certainly. Obviously, James Harden is the easiest and best example of that. There have been several that haven't, and more have than haven't. Dwight Howard would be the easiest example of something that really didn't work out. And there have been some questionable moves, you know, having a guy like Robert Covington, who is pretty good there, and you know, getting rid of him and getting rid of some different guys to create some space for other guys that haven't fit in perfectly. And the Rockets have never been to the finals throughout Morey's tenure. So you can certainly look at that and say, hey, what he's doing isn't exactly working. But they've also made the playoffs, I think, every year but one in the past decade or so. So clearly they're good year in and year out. They jumped on the opportunity to get Chris Paul and then extended him on a crazy contract. Nobody thought they would be able to move him after he signed that deal and then was hurt again last season. But lo and behold, they were able to move him and traded him out for another controversial player in Russell Westbrook, and are going to try something completely new, pairing Westbrook with James Harden after having done the James Harden at point guard experiment, and then sliding him over and adding Chris Paul to the fold and a couple of guys who need the ball in their hand quite a bit. So the Rockets they haven't exactly followed that matching windows exercise. But the counterpoint there is they also haven't really had a young superstar like Karl Anthony Towns. James Harden, when he went there, I guess, was at a similar point to where Towns is now, but maybe wasn't quite as established. I mean, having been the sixth man on a Thunder team that went to the finals, I think most people knew, and Daryl Morey certainly knew, that he was going to be a superstar, but he hadn't yet been an all-star. He hadn't yet, proven that he could be the man. Whereas Towns, you know, hasn't maybe proven it all the way yet. He hasn't brought his team to the playoffs without Jimmy Butler. He couldn't do it last year. However, he has been an all-star twice, and he's been on an all-NBA team and almost made it again last year. So it's a little bit of a slightly different situation, and the Rockets haven't ever really matched windows. And when it's looked like they're going to, they get impatient and make a move to quote unquote win now. So that's the question. Is Rosas really going to stay patient and try and match windows? John Krasinski from The Athletic says he will. And the pursuit of D'Angelo Russell in the offseason is a clear sign that that's what they'd like to do. And it's almost a no brainer. I mean, D'Angelo Russell right now isn't as good as Chris Paul right now, but that's going to flip in the next year, maybe two. And he's also, believe it or not, cheaper, even though Russell did just get his extension. But, you know, Chris Paul's a much better defender and is a more consistent offensive player, and is, there's just a number of things in his game that we know, whereas D'Angelo Russell had his breakout year, and we still don't know how much improvement there necessarily is there, and can he improve his outside shot some more? Can he become a better defender? But the Timberwolves wanted to try and grow Towns and Russell together, and they still might. It wouldn't surprise me if down the road, when Klay Thompson recovers from his torn ACL, and you know that the Warriors decide that they're better off moving Russell and maybe get a player back if they can get him to the Timberwolves, get somebody like a Robert Covington, who's a perfect role player for a team that's trying to win a championship quickly. Whereas the Timberwolves would be content to have Russell and Towns grow together, make the playoffs this year, maybe advance to the second round or the conference finals the following season, and take a little bit of a slower path. But I think Russell and Towns together would almost immediately be a playoff team, even in the West. So it's clear what the Timberwolves were trying to do. And in that sense, if they could have matched Russell's window with Towns, I think that would have been the best case scenario for them. So I'm not going to rip on Rosas or on Krasinski's analysis of the situation in that sense. Where I would take some exception, however, is, and we don't know this to be the case, but the idea that the Timberwolves could potentially put matching windows over acquiring a star who's already in their prime, or maybe even on the backside of their prime, to get the Wolves into the playoffs as soon as possible. Acquiring somebody like Chris Paul in a vacuum would immediately make the Timberwolves a playoff team this season. It would keep everybody engaged. It would help Towns continue to improve and understand what it takes to win and go to the playoffs. It would also, because it's not in a vacuum, it wouldn't improve the cap situation. And depending on what pieces are moved, it could make it worse. Like, for instance, if Jeff Teague is traded and the Wolves hang on to Andrew Wiggins for a period of time, it makes the cap situation worse. That's part of the price to pay. And there's also the chance that Paul's not entirely happy in Minnesota, and maybe he gets hurt again and he is on the backside of his prime, clearly. So there are certain downsides to it. And I'm not saying that I would for sure trade for Chris Paul, but if the reasoning is simply to match windows, then I think it's faulty reasoning, simply because you can't wait around forever and just assume that you're going to find the right fit to match those windows. Whereas if Chris Paul could be acquired at a relatively small cost, maybe it's worth it. If you get 2 years of playoffs out of Chris Paul and Karl Anthony Towns as a duo, and then can maybe flip Paul in the last year of his contract for somebody else, or can somehow manage, you know, that process down the line. I would assume that the contract is the main reason why Rosas isn't pulling the trigger. And I don't want to put words in the man's mouth. We don't know for sure that he is completely out on a potential Chris Paul trade, if he's completely out on a trade that could help the Timberwolves win now, or if he's obsessed with just simply matching the windows of other young stars. But if that's the case, my analysis is the salary is really the only thing that should be holding him back from making such a move. And I think it would be irresponsible to have a blanket policy of, you know, we're only looking for superstars of a certain age that could match up with Towns. There's so many things that can happen. It does seem like Towns is committed to being in Minnesota, but whatever star you bring in may not be committed long-term, and maybe Towns changes his mind. I think there's too many variables, especially in today's NBA, to truly think that matching windows is the way to go, with the Warriors being the only clear example of that working. You look at the other teams that have won championships, Miami, Cleveland, asterisks, I guess, because of LeBron James, but obviously those situations didn't last for long periods of time. And they didn't really involve younger players growing together through the prime of their careers. San Antonio, I guess, is a little bit of an exception, but also a unique situation. Boston clearly hasn't done that. They also haven't won a championship recently, but they've been moving guys around and trying to find the best combination of young stars as well, as veterans. So, still a lot to be unpacked there. The next thing that I'd like to talk about is other potential stars who could match windows with Karl Anthony Towns, if that's the route that the Timberwolves choose to go. We've talked previously on this podcast about Russell. We've talked about Chris Paul. We've also talked about Devin Booker, who did just sign an extension and is owed a lot of guaranteed money from the Phoenix Suns and is not going to be a free agent. So we're not going to talk about him. We're going to talk strictly about 2020 free agents and potential stars that could potentially match Towns' window and be options for the Timberwolves in free agency. Before we get to that, we're going to take one final quick break. Okay, the list of guys that are going to be free agents in 2020, I'm going to actually borrow a post by Tom Ziller on SB Nation from earlier this summer, about 5 weeks ago or so, at the end of July, that ranks the best, looks like the top 55 free agents in 2020. We're going to skip around a little bit because some of these just aren't going to be realistic. Anthony Davis, for instance, is number one. He has a player option. He may or may not decline that and sign a max contract with the Lakers. But even if he did somehow become a free agent again, it's unlikely that he pairs with Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on guys like that. But we are going to talk through some of the different stars. And if there are guys who are in the midst of or on the backside of their prime, whether or not they could be options in Minnesota or potential young stars that might hit the market. So number two on Ziller's list is Draymond Green, and he is going to be 30. He's not likely to stay in Golden State, and he is likely to be a max player. He'd be a great fit in the sense that the Wolves need more guys that can play defense. Like, for instance, if Robert Covington were to be traded, say, at the deadline this season, if somehow there's a Covington trade to Golden State, say the first part of the season goes bad, or God forbid Steph Curry gets hurt or something, where Golden State says, you know what, let's just start getting ready for the following season, and they're already ready to move on from Russell as Klay Thompson's rehabbing, maybe they decide, let's trade Russell, let's get Robert Covington and some other pieces back and gear up for the 2020-21 season when we have a healthy Klay Thompson, a healthy Steph Curry, et cetera, and decide to move on from D'Angelo Russell and get maximum value. Maybe the Wolves land Russell and they they have an opening on the wing, and Draymond Green could come in. He could play some four next to Karl Anthony Towns and, be an effective defender still. The idea of him getting a max contract past the age of 30 and a player whose game is entirely predicated on mobility on the defensive end of the floor, I shouldn't say entirely, but largely predicated on that, and there isn't much of an offensive game or at least a scoring game there, that would make me nervous. But in a vacuum, I think Draymond Green would be an outstanding acquisition by the Timberwolves. It just, again, is unlikely. There's some restricted guys that are next on the list. Pascal Siakam in Toronto and Jaylen Brown in Boston. I don't think either of them are... it's probably unlikely that they both hit restricted free agency and don't sign an extension first. Jaylen Brown, I guess, would kind of... He would fit the bill of fitting the window for Karl Anthony Towns. So if the Celtics choose to let him at least test restricted free agency and get an offer sheet, the Timberwolves could be involved in that conversation. I think there are some red flags there with Brown that cropped up in the last year, but the Wolves are going to need wing guys, you know, depending on how the year goes, how Josh Okogie is developing, how Jarrett Culver looks as a rookie. They'll take a star at any position to pair with Karl Anthony Towns. So, Jaylen Brown could be an option in restricted free agency if they are obsessed with matching windows. Other guys that have player options that probably aren't going to be realistic potential signees for the Timberwolves, DeMar DeRozan and Andre Drummond. Buddy Hield is a restricted free agent. And if he does hit the restricted market, the Timberwolves could be interested there to add some outside shooting, especially with their new offense that they're going to be running, to add one of the best shooters in the league to Karl Anthony Towns. That would be intriguing. So you can expect the Timberwolves to be involved there if Hield does hit restricted free agency. And then there's a bunch of guys who aren't necessarily bona fide stars, and there are plenty of question marks and aren't likely to be max players, but you never know. Caris LeVert, who was hurt for much of last year, you may recall the gruesome injury that happened actually against the Timberwolves that cost him the middle part of the season last year. He was having a career year last season. He's probably going to be an all-star at some point in the future, but there's still some question marks there. Brandon Ingram, he's got medical issues, restricted free agent as well, so won't spend time on him. Danilo Gallinari is often hurt. He's never been an all-star, but he's been close. He may still be getting better. We're not really sure. And he might play, if he plays the season and so does Chris Paul, that'll be an interesting duo in Oklahoma City, although there's hardly anything else around them. Let's see. Eric Gordon actually just re-upped since this was written in Houston, so he's not going to be an option. Mike Conley would be decidedly not in the same window. He will be 31 this year, so 32 next year, has a player option and will probably opt in. He's in Utah now, and there wouldn't be a lot of reason for him to not opt in to get $34 million at the age of 32 for a team that's almost certainly a solid playoff team over the next couple of seasons. Just kind of scrolling down the list and looking at some of the other names, there really is not a whole lot else. There's some older guys, Kyle Lowry, DeMarcus Cousins, there's a ton of question marks there now legally as well as his health and also potential fit next to town. So that's probably not going to happen. Domantas Sabonis is interesting, but he's also restricted. And then And then the end of the list, there are some more intriguing names towards the end of the list. Otto Porter Jr. has always been a favorite of mine, full disclosure, and will have a player option. He would be a fun fit on the wing, a guy who can play the three and the four, would be awesome from a from rebounding and 3-point shooting perspective to put next to Towns. So that's a name that I would be looking out for, and could be an option. And there's, again, a bunch of guys who are past that window that potentially the Wolves are looking at. Porter would fit it. Porter would fit that window. But guys like Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Paul Millsap, those are all names, Hassan Whiteside, guys that at the price that they're going to cost and at their advanced or at least somewhat advanced age compared to Karl-Anthony Towns, probably aren't realistic options for the Timberwolves next season. And certainly not at as mentioned, at the cost that they're probably going to command. So I guess all this is to say that the Timberwolves don't want to be caught in a situation where they have the possibility of adding a second star at a reasonable cost in terms of assets given up, a guy like Chris Paul, for instance, or maybe D'Angelo Russell in the next 6 months to a year. They don't want to get stuck in that situation when they could take advantage because they think that they're going to find a young star later. Now, we didn't talk about the trade market today, and outside of Devin Booker and D'Angelo Russell, there could be some other options in terms of guys that Timberwolves could acquire via trade and not strictly in free agency next summer. So that's another topic of conversation that we'll have during the season, certainly right before the December 15th deadline when teams can begin trading guys that signed as free agents in the offseason, and then also before the February trade deadline, which again has been moved up from previous seasons that started this past February. So we'll have a lot more conversations regarding if the Timberwolves can add a second star here in very short order, but just thought it was important to take kind of an early peek at it with the Chris Paul question still kind of lingering out there. All right, that's going to do it for us today. As mentioned, we have guests lined up. We are going to begin the long-awaited Over-Under podcast, and those are going to start becoming released at the end of this week, so stay tuned for that. Once again, thank you for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. That's all we have today. We'll be back, as mentioned, with Over-Unders and league previews this week. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.